amazing. Okay, it's great to be back learning together. A special welcome back to Miriam, who was one of the starters of this together with Sophie and others. And Hashem, the shir has continued and then passed down the next generation of Claire's. But after that, it's only boys, so some of us are going to have to take the baton. It is great to be learning together. Shavuot Tov Kuzvach. And I want this evening to do three things, rather than one long topic, three things. The first one, the third one, might be somewhat connected. One is a message, an amazing Dvar Torah I saw on Friday in the Parsha, which I think relates to what we spoke about here before, and what I think an amazing opportunity for all of you. The second is a comment on Sfiras Omer as it relates to women. And then the third is more Sfiras Omer general. And hopefully we'll be able to try to tie it together. I saw an incredible, incredible pshat. In the beginning of Kedoshim, the second parsha we read today, the second pasuk, because Baruch Hu is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire assembly of the Jewish people. So Rashi tells us, the first Rashi in the parsha, Melamed, this teaches us, Shenemra parsha zu b'hakel. We know Hakel, all the Jewish people get together, the Beis HaMikdash, they read from the Torah. Rashi tells us, he's quoting from a Medrash Sifri, I believe, Torah's Kohanim, that they read the parsha of Kedoshim and Hakel. Why they read Kedoshim and Hakel? Rashi tells us, in the Shirov Gufe Torah Tzluyin Ba, the majority of mitzvos, halachos, dinim in the Torah are in or depend on the parsha's Kedoshim. And there are a lot of mitzvos in parsha's Kedoshim. A lot of different kinds of mitzvos. But it's not actually the mitzvah with the most amount, the parsha with the most amount of mitzvos. I think there's 51 mitzvos maybe in Kedoshim. Which parsha is more? Kisese has, I think, 75. So what does Rashi mean? Rov Gufei Torah. The majority of the halachas are in Kedoshim. It's not even the parsha with the most mitzvos. So maybe Rashi doesn't mean kamus, quantity. Maybe it means ichus, quality. Qualitatively, the mitzvos in this parsha are most important. Well, why is that? Who's to determine which mitzvahs are the most important mitzvahs? I saw upshot the name of the Imre Emes, who was the third Ger Rebbe, the son of the Sfas Emes, who escaped right before the war to Eretz Israel and rebuilt the Ger Chasidus in Israel. He points out something incredible. There are two psukim in Sefer Devarim that sound very, very, very familiar. Here we go. Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teileichu, you should follow the ways of Hashem. Oso Siro, Yiras Hashem. Ves Mitzosa Tishmoru, keep his mitzvos. Ubekolo Sishmo, listen to his voice. Veoso Savodu, and serve him. Uvo Sid Bakun, you should cling to him. Well, very important pasuk. Achrei Hashem, you should walk. Yiras Hashem, mitzvos of Tishmoro, b'kol Tishmo, v'oso savodu, bosid bakun. That's in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Yud. In Parshas Ekev, Perek Yud, and listen to this pasuk. As Hashem Elokecha, Tira, no. Hold on a second, I apologize. Yeah, here we go. As Hashem Elokecha Tira, Oso Savod, Ubo Sidbak, Uvishmo Tishaveh. The same as Hashem Elokecha Tira, Fear Hashem, Oso Savod, Serve Hashem, Ubo Sidbak, Cling to Hashem. Those three are found both in Perek Yud and in Perek Yud. What's the major difference in those two psukim? Yeah, in Perek Yud, listen again. As Hashem Elokecha Tira, you in singular should fear God. Oso Savod, him you should serve, you Savod in singular, Ubo Sidbuk, and you should cling to Hashem in singular. In Perek Yud Gimel, it is, they're all in plural. Oso Sira'u, Mitzvosav Tishmoru, Vukolo Sishmau, Voso Savodu, Uvo Sidbakun. So the same apostle, like in Perek Yud, it's in singular, in Perek Yud Gimel, it's in plural. What's Pshat? So the Imre Emes says something very beautiful. In the beginning, a So Perek Yud Gimel, which is Parshas Re'eh, what do we have over here? We have the Navi Sheker. Ki Yakum Kirbucha Navi Yocholim Chalom. When there's a group of people who, or there are others you're encountering who are trying to pull you away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not enough to go at it alone. In a person's own Avodas Hashem, when they're working on getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem, Dveikus Hashem, you could do that alone. There have been people who obviously it's important to have a chevra, but you could go at it, you could combat the Yetzer Hara, the Taiva, the distractions alone. But when there's forces coming who are trying to pull you away, like a Navi Sheker, Cholim Chalom, and others, it's not enough to do it alone, you have to do it together with other people. And that's why in Perek Yud Gimel, after we read about the Navi Sheker, then it's Teilechu, Tirau, Tishmoru, Tishmau, Savodu, Sidbakun in plural. The Imri Emes says that when we want to achieve Kedusha, it's Kedoshim Tiyu, it's very hard to achieve Kedusha. There are a lot of forces in the world today which are beating into us ideals and values and morals that are antithetical to Kedusha. If we want to combat that, we have to do it together. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Hakel, get all the Jewish people together, recognize the Koach HaRabim, recognize the Koach of a Chevra, and then you'll be able to achieve Kedusha. And that's what I think here since we started this. I've been trying to impress upon everyone, which you know, without me, intuitively, the importance of Chevra is so important. Those who continue to grow and stag throughout their lives are the ones that have a strong Chevra. So continue, really continue to get together, to learn together, to grow together, to have a good time together. And then together, Kedoshim Tiyu, we'll be able to achieve Kedusha. We're going to come back to this at the end. I saw this on Friday. I thought it was a great shot, and I wanted to share it. Okay, now, I want to say something spiritual somewhere. Really fascinating. Baruch HaTorah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nivra. So, it's something wild in the Mishnah Berurah. Really crazy thing about it. Are women obligated in Sefirah somewhere? No. No, why not? Yeah, the simple explanation is a Ramban that seems to say not the way. It's a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. We know women are exempt in mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Nashim Abadim, Pturos mi mitzvah zu, that a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Okay, anyone here count Sefirah normally? So, why? Well, because you could do any mitzvah, right, that you're exempted. But more than that, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, Mihu kvar shavya alayu chova. Okay, how exactly it happened is not for now. It became like a chiyuv. There are other examples. I think shofar also is another example. Most women don't realize that they actually don't have to hear shofar. It's a mitzvah seish hazman grama, but somehow, some way, what the mechanism for that kabbalah is complex. But it became like a chova for a woman to count. But then says the Mishnah Berurah something wild. Seems to be that in our countries, Radin, Poland, the minhag was women not to count at all. Why not? Now, when was the Mishnah Berurah written? 120 years ago? Chafetz Chaim died in 1933. You can find his obituary in the New York Times. Fascinating. Chafetz Chaim died in 1933. He wrote to Mishnah Berurah, I think he completed it maybe in 1910, 1915. So we're not talking about 1,000 years ago. We're talking about 110 years ago, 120 years ago. I had a neighbor when I lived in Queens, my next door neighbor, who learned about the Chafetz Chaim. So the last year and a half of the Chafetz Chaim's life, he was in Radin from 1931 until the war broke out and ended up in Siberia. He was there. He got a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was a Kohen. The Kohen Gadol of Radin. He got a bracha from the Kohen Gadol, from the Chafetz Chaim, on Yom Tov, Birchas Kohanim. He saw, there are people who I saw who saw the Chafetz Chaim. This is not 1,000 years ago. Why should women not count, says the Mishnah Berurah? The custom is safe for Shulchan Shlomo, that even if they're going to count, Akol Panim Lo Yavarchu, they should make a bracha. Da Bevadai Yitu B'Yom Echad. They're definitely going to make a mistake one day. Now, so what? Let's say they make a mistake. What's the problem? When? All your previous brachos?
The one you continue to make.
So most people assume not the way. You're completely right. Most people assume what he means is that if they are going to make a mistake and miss a day, then retroactively, all the other nights are bracha levatav, because you're not getting the full mitzvah. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, that's not what he said. He says they don't know the halacha that if you miss a day, you can't count. So they're going to continue to count with the bracha, like, very good, and all your subsequent brachas will be bracha levatav. Okay. Then he says something crazy. The gam al pi rov, the majority, enam yodim perush hamilos. Most don't know the translation, the definition of the words. Now, let's see, what does he mean? In order to be Yotzei Sefiras Omer, unlike just about any other mitzvah, you have to know what the words mean. Kiddush, you don't have to know. Shmoneh Esrei, you don't have to know. Because it's not counting if you don't know what you're saying, right? That's not counting. See, what don't the women know? What don't they know? Well, it's not so complex, right? They know how to make a bracha. They make a bracha on other mitzvos. They don't know Hayom Shnei Yamim Lomer. Do you know, I'm not talking about a non-religious cousin. Do you know anyone, Mishnah Berurah is not writing for the secular Jews in Warsaw? Yeah, he's talking, Mishnah Berurah is writing for the firm people. Do you know any girl that went to a RPRY, any high school that the people here went to, who don't know what Hayom Shnei Yamim Lomer? Do you know anyone? Everyone knows Hayom Shnei Yamim Lomer. Even when you get to the 30s and the 40s, Hayom Arba Ushol Shavio, everyone knows it. It's really wild. It's not, the Mishnah Berurah is not writing as an attack on women. They were not educated. Most of your probably great grandmothers did not get an education. And it's crazy to think about how far the Jewish community has come, where everyone here not only knows what the words of Sefiras Omer mean, but on some level are learning, and learning on a pretty complex, intense level. And I think it's really incredible to think about how far the community has come out. It has its challenges. Also, there are issues. There's problems that have, you know, in the world at large. People are getting married much later. They're having, you know, smaller families because career, it's complex. I think the people in this room are doing it right, where the value system is in the right place, the hashkafa is in the right place. At the same time, everyone here not only knows that every Hebrew, but is learning and is coming to a shir on the Motzei Shabbos, which was not 1,000 years ago, 120 years ago. Most people did not know the words. It's crazy to think about. So Baruch Hashem, so you have, everyone here has a tremendous opportunity. You were gifted the beauty of education and of learning and of Hebrew and of knowledge and of svarim, and it's up to you to use that properly, to use that what you're doing, and you should all, be'ezer Hashem, continue to use that koach in a positive way. You can say amen. Amen. Okay. I want to share an idea. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea. One of my favorite ideas. So Sefiras Omer, why we're mourning? We're mourning up until Lag BaOmer. If that's your minhag, some people mourn more, started later and later. 33 days of mourning. Why do we mourn? We all know. Rekiva, 24,000 talmidim passed away. We know that. It's the Gemara Nivamos. Why they passed away? Shalom nagu kavod zebazeh. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the Chafetz Chaim explains based on a mashal why sometimes it's hard for us, to look at certain areas of the Torah in a more complex way. Chafetz Chaim says, imagine if a person is blind, who never saw in his life, and miraculously regains the ability to see. And they see a beautiful butterfly. What's the word? Not flying? Fluttering? What's the word? Fluttering? A beautiful butterfly is flying around. They would be completely mesmerized. The colors, the beauty, the wings, butterflies flying. We see a butterfly, not we. I see a butterfly, and what do? I'm shooing it out of the way. I don't think for a second. I'm not thinking, you know, Marabu Masach Hashem, Eschataya Ni Masach Hayom, when I see a butterfly. Because I've seen a butterfly 1,000 times. So when you see it, or maybe when I saw it before I had a certain understanding of the world, we have a hard time now seeing the beauty or thinking more complexly about a butterfly. The same thing is true with Torah, right? things that we learned when we're little, and saw it and thought about it and understood it in a more immature kind of way, a small kind of way, we have a hard time looking at it more profoundly. I think Megillas Esther is a great example of that. Okay, we know Vashti had a tail, and Esther saves the day. It's a lot more complex than that. I, for a long time, had a very hard time benching with Kavanah, because in my mind always was a camp benching. Ooh, heitiv, ooh, meitiv, ooh, yeitiv. And it's like a very immature, you know, lacking. Now, at the time, that might have been the right approach to take in benching for a kid, but it took me a long time to be able to appreciate Birchas HaMazon benching in a more complex way. So I want us to think about this story in the Gemara a little bit more deeply. They just didn't have respect for each other. What does that mean? Everyone knows these are not like random yeshiva bachrim. These are the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So Nagu covers up as that. They didn't know Behaftarecha Kamocha. That's Rabbi Akiva's statement. How could that be? They really missed the boat. They really missed the boat that badly. More than that, there's a Medrash that actually gives a different reason. The Medrash says, Harishonim lo mesu, Ella shahaisai nehem, Sara elu elu. This is Rabbi Akiva talking to his new Talmidim. But after the 24,000 died, he established 5 new Talmidim, the Gemara says. And he told them, Harishonim, the initial students, lo mesu, they did not die, Ella shahaisai nehem, Sara elu elu. They had Tsarus ayin. Tsarus ayin is jealousy. Tenu daitchem, give thought, put it on your mind. Shalotasu kimasem, don't do like them. I don't want you. They messed up. So don't do like they did. In honor of Miriam, Reb Chaska Levenstein. Asks Reb Chaska Levenstein, who's the mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, as they escaped from the Mir to Shanghai, came to America for 2 years. I think I spoke about this once, or when Reb Chaska was in America, he walked around like this, because he didn't want to breathe the tumah of America. Don't walk around like that. Reb Chaska Levenstein said. I actually got into a little bit of trouble. I'm on very few chats. I don't like chats. I'm on one chat called Unique Gedolim Pictures. People post like fascinating Gedolim pictures from, it has to be from before 30 years ago. And someone's posted a picture of Reb Chaska at the first chasana in America when they came from Shanghai. I think it was 1948, 1949. It was this person's grandfather's chasana. There's a picture of Reb Chaska at the chasana college, the first chasana of the Mir Talmidim when they came from Shanghai. They were in Shanghai for 5 years. And I responded to that, even though you're not allowed to respond to those chats, only pictures. I responded with a copy of the picture from Chatzkel's biography, where Chatzkel said that 5 hours at a wedding in America can destroy 5 years of learning in Shanghai. And that was Reb Chatzkel, that was a wedding in the 1940s. Imagine what he would say about weddings today. Forget about it, right? So I posted that with a note of, I hope this wasn't that wedding that Reb Chatzkel was talking about. So that I got a strong, we don't post those things on the chat. I'm usually not that guy. I hate people. In the camp that I run, if anyone posts something on the chat, you're kicked off the chat immediately. Okay, I was too good of a line to pass up. Anyway, this is Reb Chaska. Reb Chaska asked the following question. The Medrash gives a different reason than the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shalom Nagu Kavaz, that was it. The Medrash says, Tsaris Ayin, jealousy. Well, which one is it? More than that, he points out, so interesting. It sounds from this Medrash that Rabbi Akiva did not know initially what they were doing. It sounds like Rabbi Akiva only later understood what was happening. He says, now he's talking, after they died, Harishonim lo meso el shaisa enayim tsara eilel tenu daichem shalo tasu kemasechem. It sounds like he did not realize what they were doing wrong until after they died. And this is hard to understand. If their lack of midos, if their shalonagu kavod zeh v'zeh was so bad, and it was so bad that they died, it was so bad, he didn't realize, was Rabbi Akiva, I can't even say such a thing, was he so out of touch with his students? We've all had teachers who are out of touch. We're talking about Rabbi Akiva. The Hele Gatana Rabbi Akiva was so out of touch that They were so bad, their midos, their shalom. They were talking about fights, must be breaking out of the basement. They're ripping on each other all day long, throwing shtenders at each other. And Rekiva didn't realize. He only chapped afterwards. So what's Pshat? Reb Chatzkel says something. It's such a yisod gadol in Avos Hashem. And it ties back into the first thing that we spoke about. Reb Chatzkel suggests that Rabbi Kiva's Talmid, and it's a totally different perspective. Because we're taught from our time a little, Sfiras Omer, you have to be nice, we're going on a Lag BaOmer trip, don't mess up like Rabbi Kiva. Listen to what he says. He says something givaldic. He says that Talmidim initially, their intentions were 1,000% L'Shem Shemayim. What were they trying to do? They knew how bad kavod is. You know what kavod can do to a person? What people will do for a little bit of kavod, the Mishnah Novel says, Hakina v'ataiva v'akavod motzines adam in olam. Jealousy, desires, and honor, the pursuit of honor, can literally remove a person from the world. And the Mefarshim on the Mishnah of Tiferes Yisrael says, because a person is literally willing to throw away everything for the sake of honor. And you'll see this as maybe you've seen it already, but I've seen it. People, what they'll do for kavod is completely crazy. And the pull of kavod is so strong. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz is a funny story. He was like an up-and-coming, budding star in the yeshiva world. So he used to give shir in the Grodno yeshiva. The Grodno yeshiva was run by Shimon Shkup. Shimon Shkup was a student of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. So Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, would be there when Rabbi Shimon, who was a Rashiva, would give shir. Rabbi Shimon would often quote his Rebbe. His Rebbe was Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. And every time Rabbi Shimon Shkup would quote what Rabbi Chaim said, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz knew he wasn't talking about him, but he said he still felt really good because he said Rabbi Chaim. This is Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik was the Gadol Ador, and he was being honest. It's rare to see a Gadol offer up that kind of honesty. He said it felt so good whenever Rabbi Shimon Shkup would say Rabbi Chaim has a chiddush. Rabbi Chaim says like he wasn't even talking about him, but he heard the name and he. Kavod does a lot to a person. Kavod can mess with people. In the Kalm Yeshiva, no one got called up with the title of Rav or Reb because they were worried and get the person's head. Kavod is what's seen as other minimum. So Rekiva's Talmidim, they said, you know what? We can't give each other kavod. If we're going to be mechabed each other, harav, hagoyim, stand up for each other, whatever we're going to do to give each other kavod, it could destroy a person. Their approach in Musar was let's not be shalo nagel kavod zebazeh was started off with the right intentions. Rabbi Akiva saw that, and at first Rabbi Akiva felt this is actually a good thing. They're not being mechabe to protect each other. It's actually positive, Ben Adam Mechavero, to make sure they're working on their midos and not falling prey to kavod. But Rabbi Akiva realized after they died that that was not their intention. Rabbi Akiva realized that when it comes to, and this is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, as I'll explain in a minute, talks about this often in his writings and in his statements and his works. When it comes to any midah, any characteristic, any trait, any growth, any chumrah, anything that person's working on, has to be only for themselves and not as it relates to anybody else. You want to work on not being into kavod, you work on it, but you have to mechabed each other. That's their cheshbon, how they're going to handle their kavod. The Mishnah says, Ezeh mechubad, ha-mechabed es abrios. Rabbi Shmuel Salanter says, Rabbi Chatzkel gives a couple of examples, bitachon is a very important trait, maybe the most important trait. Someone comes to your door and asks for a tzedakah. So, no, don't worry, Hashem Yazar. You worried? Abi Tachon. Hashem runs the world. Is that the right thing to do? Why? Helping them with Abi Tachon. I'm going to give you a Musar Shmuz. Abi Tachon, don't worry about it. You have food for tomorrow? Why are you worried about the next day? You worried about Shabbos? On Monday? Hashem Yazar. Hashem will take care of you. Hashem runs the world. Of course not. You could have Abi Tachon, but don't throw that Abi Tachon on someone else. Someone's in mourning, someone's in avelus. Gamzul tova. Imagine being at a shiva house. Kol ma David Rachman l'tav David. Gam zu l'tova. It's the worst thing you can say at a shiva house. Why? It's what we believe, right? You could believe that yourself, but not as it relates to anyone else. Your midah relates to you, not to anyone else. Yisrael Salanter one time saw a student during Elul. You know, some people take Elul very seriously. This person took a tiny viewer, a whole month of Elul. He was not gonna talk. The tzaddikim have done this. Yisrael Salanter sees him. Ah, Shalom Aleichem. You know, he's... Yisrael said, wait, what are you doing? Because you want to grow on your Elul, that means I can't get a Shalom Aleichem? Your midah relates to you, it can't relate to anyone else. But Chaskel said that Shalom Nagu Kavaz Abuzet started off where Rabbi Akiva thought that it was a positive thing, but really it was Tzaras Ayin. Really it's jealousy. If you're throwing your value system, your midos onto someone else, it's often because of some deficiency in yourself. And we see this all the time. You very often will find an individual. I've definitely seen it on the guy side. I'm assuming it's true on the girl side also. I see this with adults. Someone decides they want to work on something. They are become nuts and meshuggah about that thing, and they drive everyone crazy. And this is true not just in Avos Hashem. You know, a person decides they're gonna go on a big diet, right? So I'm eating dinner, and I'm enjoying a nice sandwich. You're gonna eat that? Yeah, I'm gonna eat that. Well, because you're on some crazy diet. Why isn't that? I can't eat the sandwich. You see this with people who stop smoking, and you see this with people on just about any midah. Someone decides they're working on their lashon hara, they gotta drive everyone crazy about lashon hara. A person wants to take on a chumrah in tznias. Daf yomi people are the worst at this. It's great that you learn daf yomi, and it's gevaldik beautiful. Not everyone in the world has to learn daf yomi. Be into something, grow, take on new things, and strive to have perfect your midos. But it needs to only be for yourself. Otherwise, it's usually because of some deficiency. Rav Chaskel says one of the messages of Svira is exactly this. We're growing. Svira Somer is a time to grow. It's 49 days. Get ready for Kabbalah Torah. That's the ultimate. That's why we're here. But the idea is work on it yourself and don't throw it on anyone else. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's student, Rabbi Itzla, wrote in one of his letters, Zeh klal gadol b'midos, this is a major principle of midos, Sherov midos hatovos, himarak b'mah shenogea l'ha'adam ba'atzmo. Most good midos are only as they relate to the person themselves. B'mah shenogea l'chavero, as it relates to someone else, hachov l'hishtamish b'chol oz b'hafucha. There's an obligation to go to the other extreme. I think it's something to think about as you're all on a path of growth, and Be'ez Hashem you'll continue to grow. It needs to be the more real it is, the more it's just for you. Obviously, you want to help other people, but any need that we work on needs to only be worked on for ourselves, and it goes very well with the famous line. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, also, I think this is Lashitasu, is consistent with his reasoning. They say this in the name of the Chafetz Chaim also, and they say this in the name of other people, but Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, when I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I'm sure you've heard this, right? But I found it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my country. When I found I couldn't change my country, I began to focus on my town. However, I discovered that I couldn't change the town, and so as I grew older, I tried to change my family. Now as an old man, I realized the only thing I could change is myself. But I've come to recognize that if long ago I had started with myself, and I could have made an impact on my family, and on my family I could have made an impact on our town, and that in turn could have changed the country, and we could all indeed have changed the world. We should grow, and we should perfect our midos, and work on our midos, and our character, and when appropriate, to take on chumras, but no one else has to know, and no one else has to work on what we're working on. Honestly, no one else really has to even know what we're working on. Otherwise, we can fall prey to this concern of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, of Rabbi Chatzko, of the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, who maybe started with the right intentions, but ultimately it led to a place of of jealousy. So hopefully we should work, we should continue to work, and that doesn't have to hurt relationships with others or even throw on relationships with others. I'll take this question. If anyone has any questions, I know they put on the flyer Q&A. I'm happy to take some time to answer questions, but I'm not going to record it in case I say something I shouldn't say.
Okay. Is that miss? Is there a difference?
I shouldn't say that. I should say, but no one else needs. Okay, whatever. Yeah.
Is there a difference of like putting on what you're working on to other people versus working together with someone? Like, I think sometimes like keeping each other accountable or like being in it together, kind of what.
Yeah. If you have
a chevra.
If you have a group of friends who, just for sure, forever, and in the yeshivas they had vadim and chaburas that worked on midos together. They picked a midah of the week and everyone's going to work on it, and they would get together and they would, and tells they were famous for this, they would take walks and everyone had to share their successes and their failures and working on the midah. For sure, for sure. The difference is it a person that's part of your inner chevra or like that random person on the street or in class or in the dining room? And be like, you're not benching from a bencher? What do you mean? Okay, you want to bench from a bencher? Glaubic, but no one else has, you know? I think that's the chiluk. Yeah, they're both you next to each other, so whatever. One will go to the next one.
I didn't see you. You go.
Post the record, Aksanya.
What if it's like by nature it affects those around you? If let's say for El Shahar, you're working on Ashara and you're in a group of people are singing Ashara. But like, you know, when you're